The Zone is presented by Guarantee Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteeFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We are hanging out at KC Cannabis today, the Blue Springs location. They got four locations, all locally owned, locally operated, rooted in community. It's Kansas City Cannabis, and one of the four locations we are at today in Blue Springs, right off I-70, 7 Highway. They've also got a location in Lake Lackawanna, Kearney, Excelsior Springs, and the new one coming up north near Zona Rosa, right next to the Innitub. Is where the newest location this summer for KC Cannabis will be going on. Stop by today and register to win a Bobby Witt KC Connect jersey. But you got to be here today. We're going to be giving that away, do the drawing before 2 o'clock while we are here. We're talking some football today. We talked some baseball. Now let's continue talking some football. Matt Verderam is our guest. Does a great job at Sports Illustrated and the Matt Verderam Show as well, joining us here in the Zone. Matt, what's up, brother? How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I am. I'm doing just fine. I'm looking forward to this next week. I'm looking forward to the draft, and cannot wait. And I'm probably. I don't know. Can you consume too many mock drafts and do too many of the mock draft simulators in the next week before the draft gets here?
Oh yeah, you can definitely do too many. Okay. I've done one mock draft for SI, and I did two. One was an all trades, right? Basically, just mock drafts.
Yeah,
and then did my actual one that went out this morning, and. I'm mock draft out. Like, I know there are some people that just absolutely live for these things, and I think they're fun in theory, but after you've gotten some guy on your Twitter feed who's like, here's my 48th mock draft, like, you know what? I'm good. You've hit every single combination. So, they're fun, but I am ready for the draft to actually happen.
This is only my fourth. Now, it's 4.8, and I've done 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, but it's only the fourth, Matt, that we've done is what you're talking about.
You and the rest of Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I love mocking the mocks with the all trades, trade deals for all 32 teams, which is just would be fantastic. It would be crazy if that were to happen. Matt Verderam is our guest. I want to talk some NFL stuff around the league before we maybe get a little bit of the Chiefs conversation. I've talked about the last week or so and just sort of trying to figure out different people's opinion on top 30 visits, specifically for the Chiefs, how they've used it in the past and, you know, how they'll, you know, using it this year and different positional groups that may be more populated than others in having these top 30 visits. I don't know that I've seen anything like the Commanders in bringing in four quarterbacks and another 12 other prospects to, like, have a night out with guys to go to Top Golf. And, like, I don't know what you're gleaning from that and what you're getting from that other than, we got to fill these visits anyway, so let's just have some fun. Does a battle royale break out? Does somebody become, you know, the leader? You got alpha males that are trying to beat the other alpha male out and be the leader. Like, I don't know what you accomplish, but I'm fascinated by the fact that they've got all these guys together at once on a top 30 visit.
I actually really like it. I think it's really interesting. Like, if I was Adam Peters, the GM there now, I would be looking at how competitive are you? Can you get along with, especially if you're the quarterback, like, are you getting along with everybody? You're kind of a loner. Who's the drunkest person there? Like, who's the guy who just had 8 vodka cranberries in an hour? I want to know who that guy is so I don't draft him. Like, I want to see those guys in a dynamic. I think, too, like, you just get people more loosened up in that dynamic than you do just one-on-one, and it's you, and it's all the coaches, and it's GM, like, I actually think it's interesting. It's basically like the Commanders got together and said, you know, let's just do like a bachelor style, draft visit. It's interesting. Yes. It's different. It's nothing else. It's different. And with the way they've been for 25 years, different might not be the worst way to go.
But that's such a great comparison and analogy because it's the first night of the bachelor or bachelorette. So you're going to have somebody that gets a little too intoxicated. You got the person that's causing issues. You got you get the first impression rose that happens that night. So maybe that's who they're thinking of drafting now, the person they really like more. That's a great point. You can sort of weed out some things as the intoxicated person, yeah, the person that's trying to push people around, and maybe the one the cliques and the leaders that start developing. I love that analogy of the first night of The Bachelor that they've created with this top 30 visit. Now, every team should do it, and we need video of, road to the NFL, path to the NFL, hey, rookie, on NFL Network with these top 30 visits like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that. It would be interesting, right? Like, wouldn't you like to see all four of these quarterback prospects playing Topgolf, and, like, one of them can't hit the ball at all, and the other guy is driving like he's Tiger? And you just see, like, what the dynamic, like, are they cool with that? Is the one guy, like, breaking his club because he's pissed? No, you know, like I said, sometimes, you know, different is good. Different can be interesting. And I actually do think in some ways, if you're Washington, like, you're getting a look at who these guys are. You know, who's to your point, who's leading the pack a little bit? Who's maybe kind of distancing themselves? Who's the guy who is responsible, and who's the other guy who has to be carried out of there because he couldn't stop drinking Tito's? Like, that all factors in. Like, I want to know who that guy is. Is that guy, like, is he an angry drunk? Is he hilarious? Yeah. I need to know.
Yeah. Can he get along with the group? Yeah. Is he a chameleon? Can he find himself fitting in? Yeah.
Can I trust him at the club, or do I need to keep my phone on at all times of the night? That's because right. If this guy has 3 Moscow Mules, like, I'm getting a phone call.
That's right.
You know, all these things are valuable pieces of information.
Yeah, I love that. And maybe in an odd way, you should try not to be good at so you can be competitive, but don't be good, because if you're too good at the golf, now the team thinks, okay, well, his priorities are split. I mean, he's committed. Good at golf, you're spending a lot of time playing golf. Mark him off. No way. His golf game's too good. He's out. This guy sucks at golf. You know what? CJ Stroud, throw a baseball. He can't throw a baseball. That guy loves football. That guy throws a baseball like a football. He's my quarterback, damn it.
I love that in the NFL, everything that you do is viewed as a positive or a negative, whereas, like, in reality, 90% of this stuff is absolutely no bearing on whether you play the game.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you think about, I had a guy years ago, he wasn't a chief at the time, he's chief now, so it ties in. Joe Tooney did the Wunderlich test, that, you know, the old school Wunderlich test, and he was coming out of the draft, and his agent told him, don't do as well as you can on it. Because if you do as well as you can, you're probably going to score near perfect based on our research. And if you do that, teams are going to think you're too smart and that you're not committed enough to football and they're not going to pick you. So, like, amazing. Do well, but don't do too well. So Joe Tooney, like, just did, like, a decent job on it by his standards and ended up, I think, going in the third round to New England, but was literally told going into the draft, hey, listen, don't be too smart, because that might be a problem. But also don't be a moron, because that's also a problem. Like, just be a guy. Just be, like, Joe Blow, I got an 82, and everything's good.
Well, I think he took that literally with interviews now and press conferences of don't give anything away. Just you're here for the team. It's all about winning. I'm trying to do my job, and everybody's doing their job, and I just want to win games. So he's definitely taken that and ran with it. I remember Chris Connolly for the Chiefs coming out of Georgia. It was a negative that he enjoyed, you know, making movies and filmmaking in his spare time at Georgia. It's like, well, is this guy really committed to football? Because when he's away from the facilities, you know, is he going to be a director someday? Is he going to quit football because he has other interests than football? Like, that's a negative at the time. And at the time, I'm like, that seems so dumb and so absurd that would be viewed as a negative. But then you see, you know, what the commitment may take for you to be the best at your craft, for them to know that this particular draft pick works out. I understand why teams may, you know, shy away from things like that, but also there's nothing wrong with being a well-rounded individual that has other interests in life, but you can also really work your butt off and be a great player while having other interests too. So,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
maybe not golf, maybe not being great at golf. I don't know that you can be great at golf and also be good at other sports too. I don't know.
Well, I, I think when you look around the league and you look at Patrick Mahomes, a guy could probably play professional baseball, and it's worked out okay. On
point,
the flip
man.
Side,
just natural.
yeah, I mean, Alan Page, who people don't know who he is, the Hall of Fame defensive tackle for the Vikings, who's so great he won MVP in 1971. Like, he ended up becoming a justice on the, I believe, on the Minnesota Supreme Court. So, like, it worked out for him. But then there are other guys who, will literally tell you, like, I have no idea what I would have done with my life if I wasn't a defensive end. Like, it's just, hey, again, can you play football? Can you get the journey? Are you focused? Are you driven? Do you care about your craft? You know, I mean, hey, take on all comers in professional sports. There are guys who are sitting on that plane on a road trip who are studying for the bar exam. There are guys on that road trip who all they care about is whether they can hit two pair on the river. Like, and as long as you show up on Sunday, that's fine.
Yep, yeah. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to nursing school while he's playing football. I mean, Mike Caliendo's – yeah, right. Mike Caliendo. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great one. You know, he was a damn doctor while he was playing football. Caliendo is doing the same thing, studying to be a doctor while playing football. So, you know, there's a lot of things. So, Matt Verderam is our guest. I wanted to ask you about Bill Belichick and the story that came out about the process of hiring the coaches and him and the seven openings, and he thought he was going to be the Falcons head coach, and maybe Robert Kraft had guided Arthur Blank away from hiring Bill Belichick. Belichick thought he was getting the job. Turns out he wasn't even in the top three. All of the openings, you know, at least I guess considered Bill Belichick, including the Eagles as well, that maybe thought about, okay, do we bring in Bill Belichick, who's available right now, is he going to coach again in the NFL if seven teams passed on him and there's these issues of how difficult he may be to work with, but he's very set in his ways? He told the Falcons, look, I'm willing to work with the GM. I don't have to have total control, right? Is he a guy that next year, this time, you know, he'll have a head coaching job?
I think he will. I think what's going to happen and what didn't happen this offseason is there's going to be a team that, I don't want to say is ready-made to win a championship, but, like, you feel like if they get Belichick, they're in the inside circle. They got a real shot. And I think that he's going to go there and give them, like, 3 years. I think that's going to happen. I know people are like, well, Belichick's 72 years old. What else does Belichick want to do? Right? Like, this kind of goes to the conversation we just had. It's not like Bill Belichick's sitting there going, you know what I really want to do? Just sit down and eat donuts. Like, that's not who the guy is. He's not somebody who's – I know he's going to do a little TV work, but come on. Like, Bill Belichick is not going to be doing stand-up with, late-night TV. I was like, he's a football coach through and through. That's who he is. I mean, his boat is named Six Rings. Like, that's what the guy cares about. So I have a hard time seeing him just walking away if he can get a job. And when you look at the league, if Sirianni doesn't have a bounce-back year, he's probably gone. I wonder with the Cowboys, is there a world, if they start out poorly this year, that they fire Mike McCarthy and they go Belichick up and like, what do you want now? I mean, I don't think that would happen. You don't normally see a coach get fired and somebody get hired during the season. I would bet heavily that wouldn't happen. But I got to tell you, it'd be really entertaining. But I think there is a real chance that if McCarthy, let's say, doesn't get past the wild card round. Yeah. I think there's a chance he gets fired and they hire Belichick. I'll give you another team. But this would be really interesting. What if the Bills have another year where they can't get past the divisional round? They fire McDermott. I mean, if you're Belichick, is there any place you'd rather go to stick it to New England than Buffalo? I mean, so there's a lot of places that I look at and go, some of these contending teams, if they don't level up, so to speak, there could be a job opening. And if there is, if you're one of those types of teams that you feel like you're on the doorstep, you wouldn't hire that guy for 3 years, 4 years? Of course you would. So, yeah, I think he'll get another job.
Matt Verderam's our guest from Sports Illustrated, the Matt Verderam Show as well. You're doing these mock drafts, and certainly, you know, as we cover the Chiefs, and you've, you know, covered the Chiefs for a long time, and we see as they get to pick number 32, when you look at it, Is it a feel of, you know, it's going to be tackle wide receiver, and that's specifically sort of how you'll look at the prospects and who you'll select or whatever? Or is it these are the best players that I view, and this tackle would be too early at 32, this wide receiver would be too early at 32? How much do you maybe think, or a trade-up could be possible for one of these receivers if they're there in the 20s, or a tackle if he's there in the 20s? Is it more a positional group specific that you start with when you see the Chiefs and think about different fits for them?
All right, so there's a lot to unpack with this. I'll try to do it as quick as I can. If they are sitting at 32 and they feel like, hey, all right, there's a handful of tackles, there's a handful of receivers that are reasonable to take here, but none of them stand out over the other ones, they're in the best spot in the world to trade back because they have the last pick with a fifth-year option. And if a guy like Michael Penix or Bo Nix is there and some team wants him, the Chiefs might be able to get well above the numerical value for that pick based on the fifth-year option. So that's one thing to consider. However, I think based on Brett Veach's history, they're more likely to trade up than to trade down. I don't know that they're going to move into the top 10 like some people think. I think that is really rich unless you really believe you're getting an all-pro level player. Because if you think he's just getting a pro boy, you can't do it. But I think they could move into the early 20s, something like that. And I think if they do it, I think it is absolutely for a receiver or a tackle. I don't see them taking any other position in the first round. The only other position, if they stayed at 32, that maybe they would take is corner. You know, if Nate Wiggins got to them, if Terrion Arnold out of Alabama got to them, maybe, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, somebody like that, another Alabama corner, maybe they take him. But I think, yeah, their needs are pretty well defined. There's not a lot of them. Left tackle and receiver are clear in a way the two that you'd say are the biggest. You know, if Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU, if he gets to 22, where Philadelphia is picking, maybe if you're the Chiefs, you know, Veach calls up his buddy Howie Roseman and says, hey, look, we'll move up and we'll give you a mid-round pick. Okay. You know, a tackle, I think tackle, they're more likely to stay where they are. If you just look at the draft, you know, you have Alt going, I think everybody believes he's top 10. After that, you've got a host of guys who are all probably going to go somewhere between 11 and 32. You know, whether it's Latham or Graham Barton or Fashanu or Flaga. I mean, the list goes on. The kid out of BYU. I mean, there's so many different guys. Mims. There might be 10 offensive linemen that go in the first round of this draft. So if they stay at 32, I would think it's more likely a lineman. If they move up, I think it's more a receiver.
Interesting. Yeah, I just love like the different possibilities of what they can do there. I'm more of a trade back guy. Sort of depends on who's available. And you know, we've seen the Chiefs go off board of what would be expected before. I mean, Sterling and I were talking about it in the previous hour that, you know, they traded up and got Trent McDuffie. And, you know, we thought they were trading up to get Jermaine Johnson from Florida State. And it's like, hold on, they're drafting a corner. But I thought Brett Veach didn't invest in corners and didn't give out contracts and didn't use any draft picks, high draft picks on cornerbacks. And they went off board there. So, yeah, it's sort of – and that was because of how the board fell. Because Trent McDuffie was there and they didn't think he would be there and it's too good and he's got a first round grade. And also I think, Matt, what separated that year from this year is, you know, how much do they take into account? They had so many draft picks that year with the Tyreek Hill trade that it sort of allowed them to package some while still being able to work the board and get some other needs where, if they're, you know, to a degree cash strapped, in this go around where it makes it a little less ideal to move up and get somebody as opposed to collecting draft picks and trying to get more so you can have more dart throws.
Well, you know, it's going to be very, really interesting in this draft, a few things. So next year, the Chiefs have that extra third-round pick they got from Tennessee for Sneed. They have had recent classes. They've had a lot of picks, and they've hit on a ton of them. So you're looking at a roster that, I mean, we're sitting here in April. Couldn't you pretty much make a case for about, you already know, about 47 of the positions, you know, on the 53-man roster? You know, I mean, somewhere in that neighborhood. And maybe it's a little rich. Maybe it's 45. I mean, you pretty much know, like, okay, these guys are making it, plus the draft class, added maybe one more free agent, and there you go. I don't know that the Chiefs need 8 or 9 picks. Like, I think the Chiefs, talking to people around the league, especially down at the Combine Indy, there's a lot of thought among decision makers in the NFL that this draft is unbelievably talented and deep through about the first 110 to 125 picks, which if you factor in compensatory picks, is somewhere like the end of the third to the middle of the fourth. And then a lot of people will tell you that after that, it falls off an absolute cliff, that from about the middle to end of fourth on, you're drafting a lot of kids who have been in college for 5, 6 years because of COVID eligibility stuff. Kids who in a lot of years would go multiple rounds later or even be UDFAs. So if you're the Chiefs who are trying to three-peat, who have a loaded roster, does it make sense in a year like this, when you know you've got extra ammunition next year as well, does it make sense to just say, you know what, we're going to take a couple of big swings in this thing, and we're going to try to get two guys who come in and play right now. If that means we have 5 total draft picks, fine. We're fine with that. I don't know. Maybe Veach goes the other way. Maybe he says, I want to accumulate as many top 125 picks as possible. But that's what makes the draft so fascinating. Yeah. Everybody's going to feel differently, and everybody's going to approach it a different way.
Matt Verderam is our guest. Last one for you. If you're picking or predicting, it's a week away, and there's so much that can happen in the next week, and it's throwing a dart as well, maybe blindfold a dart, who knows. But and certainly the right to change your guess along the way. But if you're guessing right now, what position do they take in the first round?
Tackle. I don't think tackle. I think it's very evenly split between that and receiver. Yeah. I think they're not getting the first 3 guys. And Thomas, if they get him, they're going to have to move up for him. And then after that, I just don't know that there's that much of a difference between wide receiver 5 and wide receiver 9. Like, I don't know. At that point, I might just wait to the second round and get a guy who I think is everybody's good as the guy I'm going to get at 32. Yeah. I don't think that's the case to tackle. I think whoever you're drafting in the first round is going to be demonstrably better than the guy in the second round. I think there might be 9 tackles off the board in the first round. Like, I think,
unbelievable.
You know, a guy like Fatanu is really interesting to me out of Washington. He can play guard. He can play tackle. Well, they might lose 1 or 2 of their guards after this year, depending on how they approach this. Like, they might need that versatility and flexibility. Another guy, real quick, Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, 6'8", yeah, 314 pounds. They love Oklahoma linemen. They took Creed Humphrey. They traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They drafted Wanya Morris. Like, they love kids out of that program at that position. So, just something to keep in mind as we are a week away.
Matt Verderam. Matt, you're the man. Appreciate it as always, brother. Enjoy the next week or so, and looking forward to watching and certainly reading the coverage that you have of the draft, and certainly from the Chiefs' perspective as well. Matt, thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime.
Absolutely. There's Matt Verderam from SI and also the Matt Verderam Show. He's got the what would be called chaos, the 32 picks that are all traded, the all trade, as he would call the mock draft. So every single pick is a trade. Now, if you from pick number 6 and trade up to number 1, well, that takes care of 1 and 6. So it's not like every single pick every single time is going to be a trade, because then
it's a double trade, though. Have you considered the double trade?
Whoa, no, that's like a double cross.
Yeah,
you know,
crisscross.
It's a triple stamp, a double stamp. I don't
crisscross
will
make you jump is what
they heard. They do make you jump. That's right, because everything is to the back with a little slack. You know why? Because inside out,
it's wiggity 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 whack.
We'll take a timeout. More Zone next. Hanging out here at KC Cannabis, here at the Zone, heading up until 2 o'clock. Our location, one of the 4 locations of KC Cannabis. We're in Blue Springs, right off I-77 Highway. They've also got a location at Lake Lackawanna, Kearney, Excelsior Springs, and a 5th location coming up north. And today, buy one, get one 40% off on all edibles. Those are all 4 locations, not just this one. They got specials coming up tomorrow, and then they are partying on Saturday. They got the food trucks, vendors, giveaways, etc., at all 4 of the locations. Again, this location being the Blue Springs one. And they've got deals every day of the week, so it's not just today or tomorrow. And the first customers, first-time customers, get 20% off your first purchase. And it's all KC-owned, operated, local people rooted in community is KC Cannabis, our location today. There you go.
You get 20% off your first order, so what are you buying me?
Well, I mean, you bought me a nice little taquito from Quick Trip, so I appreciate that. So I guess I do have to return the favor.
I'm going to get.
I didn't realize that came with stipulations.
I get a full ounce. I think that's how this works now, right?
I mean, I've been married long enough. I should know that doing that came with stipulations there.
Of course. No, nothing's free.
Yeah, sure. You can go out with your guys that night. Yeah, all right. Well, I got to do dishes the next week. No, I'm just joking. That's not how it is in our house. Come on. We have a dishwasher. We've made it. We're pretty big time.
Yeah, but you still got to clean them off before you put them in the dishwasher.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Sterling. Oh, my goodness. This is, whew, you are speaking my language there,
yeah.
Buddy.
And sometimes they have to soak a little bit.
Is there breaking news in the NFL or breaking news you do need to actually rinse off the dishes?
Rinse off dishes. Yes, that was the breaking news.
Because you know the food can clog up the dishwasher.
Yes.
Right. And it's not going to automatically clean everything because you can take a bowl out of there and it's like, oh, it's still dirty. Now I got to put it back in there. Or I got to hand wash it. Might as well hand wash it the first time. You know?
When I make enchiladas, I just throw it right in the dishwasher. I don't even rinse it off or anything. Everything dried on there from the oven, and it works out, you know?
Yeah, it's always perfectly fine.
I only get sick every other week, so.
And I just, like, don't even clean, like, whatever we didn't eat, whatever, I'll just throw it in the dishwasher. It's not a big deal. I mean, do we need to throw it? I don't want to throw food away. And then it starts to smell the trash can and everything. That's terrible. We have a dishwasher, so it's a big deal.
I'm proud of you, Jason. Another humble brag. He has TVs.
Yep.
He can carry a TV, which I
learned. Right.
So he's
very strong. Very strong.
And he's got a dishwasher, so.
Hitting the weight room a lot. That's what's going on. It's the testosterone that allows me to carry the TVs now, thanks to Heartland Men's Health.
And they're tubes, by the way. They're actually old school TVs.
Yeah, I ain't carrying those. Not since college, buddy. I ain't carrying those things around. That was absurd, man. People had to actually carry those things upstairs. Oh, God, that's terrible. 913-912-4810. So we were talking about Bill Belichick and whether or not he's going to coach again in the NFL. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and they were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs have pick number 32, so what are they going to do there? And Bill Belichick has had experience picking number 32. Now, they've also had experience of not having first-rounders by having them taken away by the NFL, but that's besides the point. They have experience of picking number 32. So here's that conversation, Pat McAfee and Bill Belichick, about what the Chiefs may be doing and how Bill Belichick approaches things like that.
What is the mindset going into a draft when you are picking that late? Because, you know, this is something that your buddy Andy Reid has to deal with now, because they're going to be, you know, 28 and up going forward for the next, you know, 10, 15 years, who knows. But what is kind of the thought process around that? And when do you know, like, during that first round, hey, we're trading out, there's no point to stay here?
Right. That's a great question. And the answer is every year is different and you really don't know. When you're picking at the end of the draft, and I got this question, you know, from people in organization and so forth a lot, you know, what are we going to do? We're picking 28th, we're picking 32nd. You tell me who's going to be there, and then I can tell you what we're going to do, but you just really don't know. There's so many teams in front of you, it's just impossible to predict. So did I think we would ever draft Vince Wilfork? I thought there was no chance he would be on the board when we picked. I didn't think Hightower would be there, so we traded up and got him. I didn't think Chandler Jones would be there. So we traded up and got him. You know, Logan Mankins was there, and we waited it out and took Mankins at 32. But you just don't know what's going to be at the end of the draft when you're picking there. So sometimes you see somebody falling and say, okay, it's worth it to trade and get up and get the guy. Other times you kind of wait and see who slides through. Sometimes you feel like, I'm taking this guy, you know, there's not much there at the end of the first round. Let me move back. You know, a few spots and try to either, you know, accumulate some capital or, you know, take the same player or the same quality of player that you're going to take. You got two or three guys you like there, just back up and take a little bit more for it. I think the fifth year option is an issue at the end of the first round for the high priced positions. So obviously quarterback, which is what the Ravens did when they took Lamar Jackson. They traded in our spot at 32 to take Jackson and got the fifth-year option on him, or cornerback, offensive tackle, you know, maybe even pass rusher. But when you talk about the tackles and the pass rushers and the receivers at that point, you're probably talking about the fifth or sixth guy. But, you know, look, if it's a guy who's going to end up making a lot of money at that, at one of those high quality positions, then it's worth it probably to be up in the first round and potentially have a fifth year option. So that's sometimes a factor too of there's a little bit of savings from the first round to the second round because that fifth year option is included in the first round.
It's interesting. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen at the end of the draft, like he's talking about, especially the, at the end of the first round. I would love for them to trade back, right? I mean, it's if they can trade back at the end of the first round, that'd be great. Picking 32, let's collect some more picks. And I know there's a lot of people that want them to trade up, so you can get a better player, and it makes it more fun, and it's more exciting, and you can get a player that's going to come in and contribute right away, or at least you hope that that was the case. And for the Chiefs, I think they have shown that accumulating the draft picks gives them a better chance of building an overall roster with depth that can get you through a full season, and you have guys then that can become those really good players. If the Chiefs didn't trade Tyreek Hill, obviously they'd have Tyreek Hill. Who knows who they wouldn't have right now? Maybe Chris Jones on the team because of the money they'd be paying Tyreek Hill. But if they didn't trade Tyreek Hill and have those different selections, if they sit there in their spot and take Karlaftis, okay, you don't have McDuffie. You take Brian Cook. Or flip that. You just take Sky Moore, and then you don't have Brian Cook. And it's like, okay, well, now you don't have a safety. Now you don't have a cornerback. Those are two pretty big pieces of
a – You still don't have a wide receiver.
Yeah, and you still don't – exactly, and you still don't have a wide receiver. Now maybe you go, well, why would they take Sky Moore? Because you'd have Tyreek Hill, so maybe they take Brian Cook. Certainly, yes. But when we look at that draft, it is viewed in such a positive light – because of all the different players that you got from that. You got Trent McDuffie. You got George Karlaftis. You got Brian Cook. Chanel is contributing. You got Joshua Williams. You got Pacheco. Jalen Watson is a part of that draft class as well. You had all these different guys. But you also drafted Sky Moore. You also drafted Darian Kennard, you know, who's not even on the team anymore. You drafted Nazi Johnson, who was a seventh rounder, but, you know, we'll see what he's going to be this year. Hopefully he can make an impact in some way. But if you take some of those away and then you throw them in with the, well, you drafted Kennard, you drafted Sky Moore, and you drafted Nazi Johnson, yeah, if you don't have as many picks, but having all those picks allows you to have three guys that have done next to nothing on this team. One of those being a second-round draft pick, another one being you trading back in the second round to get the fifth-round pick that you got with that player in Darian Kennard, and an offensive lineman 2 years later after that draft is not even on your team, and you took him in the fifth round? Like, that's not good enough. It would be viewed in such a different light. But when you've got that many chances to land those really good players, you get a guy like a Brian Cook or a Chanel or a Karlaftis or a Trent McDuffie, etc.
I do think what's so hard, though, is a lot of teams seemingly do not want to trade with Kansas City, right?
Well, they're dumb.
Do you want to help your the new dynasty, if you will? Mm-hmm. No, you don't. And then, two, I think we're starting to see a trend, and I've been wrong before, and maybe I'll be wrong again. This just might be a certain couple of year stretch, but how many teams have all of a sudden decided, you know what, we want that 32 spot. We want that fifth-year option the past couple. We haven't seen it as often. You know, all the rumors of the Chiefs trying to trade up or back and get out of 32. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Will Levis. I mean, I know Belichick brings it up, you know, the premium positions, but there was premium positions still there last year. Didn't matter. It didn't matter that Will Levis was there at 32 and the Chiefs couldn't still trade back. And again, I know you brought this up in a joking manner the other day of, yeah, of course, you know, you can trade back if you want, Brett Veach. Hey, you're not trading back. It's in Kansas City. We want to still make our pick here. But I think if they could have, they would have traded back. I just don't think that fifth-year option is quite as, maybe I'm wrong, quite as valuable as it once was, because now all these guys are saying, hey, if you don't give me a long-term extension now, the players are starting to get more of the power, contracts are getting larger, you're starting to get more of the franchise tag, the rookie contracts are getting larger as well, obviously. It's getting more convoluted, and you've seen, I think, over the past few years, the struggles of trying to trade out of 32. It sounds great on paper. No matter what we want, and maybe even what the Chiefs want, mm-hmm. it comes down to the reality and finding a trade partner. That is the hard thing.
Yeah. There is some news in college basketball, and that is the Kansas Jayhawks have landed another player. So good for them. I bet they feel very excited. No, I'm joking. No, but they landed a pretty damn good player. All right, AJ Storr from Wisconsin has committed to KU, and that is a fantastic get. You throw Zeke Mayo and Rylan Griffin, and now you throw AJ Storr with this team, and you've got guys in a I mean, you can have a four guard lineup out there if you want to. You're going to be playing differently than you did a year ago. Guy 17 points per game for Wisconsin, and is a, I mean, that's a fantastic portal class right now. If it's just Mayo, Kugel, Griffin, Storr, like guys like that. But Kugel, I don't know why I left him out, but that's a pretty damn good pickup too. But if you're looking at Mayo, Kugel, and Storr, that's a pretty damn good start.
Yeah, and you can play and rock the four-guard lineup when A.J. Storr is 6'7".
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's going to help you out just a little bit there. You mentioned the 17 points per game. This is obviously his third team now in, what, 3 years? He was at St. John's, then Wisconsin, then Kansas. But that's just the way of the new college basketball. Will he be there for his senior year in Lawrence? Maybe not. But again, you're going at year by year. When you have, again, in my opinion, I think the four-guard lineup in college basketball is the best way of going deep in March. I firmly believe that. You still need to have one big guy, right? But I think when the big guy is your focal point, as we saw with Zach Edey, he's kind of the unicorn, if you will. Mm-hmm. Klingon's great for UConn, but he wasn't the main guy on that UConn team. They were four guards. I still consider Caravan a guard, almost, in my opinion, right? And then you had Klingon. I think if KU does rock that four-guard set, you can still throw A.J. Storr as a guy who can guard a lot of the bigger bodies, the threes and fours on the opposing teams. Again, he's not the biggest dude at 205, but that 6'7", the height, the length, that really matters in college basketball, where you might not be able to get away with that in the NBA.
Yeah, another part of it, like people thought A.J. Storr was going to end up in Illinois, that it was going to be him heading to Illinois. There was a reported $1 million ask for him in NIL. And you know what? Good for him asking for it. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. And maybe he ended up getting that $1 million. But also, his girlfriend, yesterday or the day before, maybe it was a more recent than that, committed to KU to play basketball for the women's team.
Aww.
So AJ Storr is now heading to Lawrence with his stalker.
Romantic. You say stalker, I say romantic.
Stalker alert. I mean, you can't let her have her own life, AJ. Let her be her own woman.
It's a love story.
It is. It
it's
is
a
absolutely
love story.
No, it's cool. It's awesome. And now they'll be like the basketball couple, like USC with what's the name of the movie? Love and Basketball.
Mm.
Got it.
Nailed it.
Got it. Just like USC, it'll be at KU. Love and Basketball Part D. There. But AJ Storr heading to KU. It's a big one because now you've got three guys that they got in the transfer portal that every single one of them made more threes than anybody on KU's roster last year. All three.
Hey, pump the brakes for a second because everyone thought Timberlake was going to all of a sudden become this three-point shooter at Kansas.
Well,
and
yeah,
he,
but at least,
forgot how to shoot.
At least Storr and Griffin have done it at a big
fair
not at Towson, right? You weren't doing it at Towson, and then can that translate? Storr was doing it at Wisconsin, and Rylan Griffin was doing it for a team that made the Final Four, not too bad. We'll take a timeout, come back, and one of the best sounds we've heard, and if we don't have a lot of time to play it in the next segment, we'll have some fun with Sports or Leisure with it as well. We'll take a timeout. We're hanging out at KC Cannabis, location in Blue Springs. They've got some cool stuff going on today, cool stuff tomorrow with a happy hour all day, on into Saturday, partying with the food trucks, vendors, giveaways. They got specials every single day, and today they got buy one, get one 40% off on all edibles. We'll take a timeout, come back, more Zone next. All right, hanging out here at KC Cannabis today, our location. Got another hour to go for you to get here and register to win this Bobby Witt Jr. KC Connect jersey. The location we are at today for KC Cannabis is the Blue Springs location, I-70, just off I-70, 7 Highway. They've got four locations. This location here in Blue Springs, they've got one in Lake Lackawanna, got one in Kearney, got one in Excelsior Springs. They got a fifth one coming up north. Check them out. KC Cannabis, our location today. They got Specials going on today, tomorrow, on into the weekend, every day they got specials. KCCannabis.org, where you can go and check out the menu and make online orders, etc. Last night, a lot of times when it's a losing clubhouse, the clubhouse of a team that lost, you get some pretty boring sound bites. You get the, well, you know, we just got to come back tomorrow and try to figure some things out, and, you know, we'll get things rolling. And then you get the follow-up from the reporter that's always trying to disarm what feels like it could be a harsh question of, like, so what do you guys, you know, what do you think the issue is going on right now? You know, just trying to let them know, like, hey, I'm here because I got to ask the question, right? I'm not trying to, you know, come at you. Well, last night, P. Fairbanks blew yet another save for the Rays and his roughly 9 ERA. And Pete Fairbanks at his locker in the clubhouse last night, here's how it sounded in one of the best answers to a post-game question about a pitcher that was just terrible last night.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pete, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, you know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
And I totally relate with that last part. Like, I'll sulk right until 10 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got to go. And then I got to figure things out, get back on the bump, and go. I would say it generally sucked. Not specific, more of an all-encompassing suck.
I thought it generally sucked.
What do you think of me as your new co-host?
Sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
That's right.
Is that all right?
That's probably good. I mean, it's just in general, like, hey, how do we assess this show today?
I thought it generally sucked. Yeah. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
A little harsh, Pete. A little harsh. Maybe you speak for yourself. I mean, you're the one that sucks. You can't even get an out on the mound. You got a 9 ERA. I got a 0 ERA right now.
He's letting Missouri down.
Is he? Mizzou the guy. Entire state?
Well, he's a Mizzou guy, kind
of. He's just letting the entire state of Missouri down.
He may be from Missouri. I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I'll take your word for it. I want to know. I want to be friends with the guy just from that answer alone. Sports or leisure next.
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.